Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all again. Last time we came here, we left the hall to go down to our family, some of whom are in the Isle of Wight. And a few days after the last day of unleavened bread, we saw our little girl Tamar get married. So that's something I forgot to tell you, Rory, when you said how things have been going. I've got rid of two of them now, there's just one left. Well, I want to talk today partly on the subject that was mentioned in the opening prayer. And I want to start from the point of choices, decision making. We are recently faced with local elections and European elections from our political parties. And I caught a piece of a television broadcast promoting one of the parties, claiming to be the party of choice, of choices, meaning we would have the choice. We make the decision. The election gives us the chance to choose. Unfortunately, because our citizenship is elsewhere, it's not a choice I'm going to be making. As far as I'm concerned, they are all unsuitable choices. When we look at a menu in a good class restaurant, it seems a dazzling array of choice, but with the knowledge we have, when we go down through the food choices, we suddenly find that, well, yes, the steak would be nice, but I really don't want it garnished with bacon and sausages and pork chops. Yes, the fish platter would be splendid, but I don't really want the shellfish, the shrimps, the prawns. And you suddenly realize that your choice of 20 dishes suddenly comes down to a couple. So you think, where's my choice gone? Well, I really don't want to ruin my health and ignore what God tells us. If God did not reveal information to us, we would not know, I would not know, that so many things were inappropriate for food. Now, unclean food is not the most urgent piece of knowledge we need to have, but I use that as an example for choice. What appears to be a dazzling array of choices can actually be no choice at all. It's ironic that our first mother, Eve, showed an incredible human characteristic, which unfortunately, despite years in the church, I share. The one piece of fruit she was not allowed to have was the one she was irresistibly drawn to. And I still have that childish trait of, what piece do I want? I want your piece. So my wife used to try and resolve, with the wisdom of Solomon basically, the rows between our children when they were younger. When there was a portion to be divided, she would say, one cut, one choose. And the frustration that caused, because they were, no, let them cut and I'll choose. No, no, you cut and I'll choose. It was to save a row, and we still had a row, but it's just the way we are. Eve could have chosen from innumerable fruit trees. Unsullied, she didn't have to worry about anyone else choosing it first. She was just had to leave one tree alone, and she couldn't. We almost, although we have the same approach, the same selfish approach, are faced with a situation where we have only one right choice to make very often. All the other choices are wrong. Jesus Christ mentions in Matthew 7:13, if we could turn there please, Matthew 7:13, starting in verse 13. I've already made a bad choice, I didn't bother to bring up my reading glasses, so this should be interesting. If this sounds different from normal, please trust what's in the book rather than what I'm saying. Enter you in at the strait gate. This is King James English. And the strait refers to being narrow, like the Straits of Gibraltar, or a straitjacket, a means of restraint. A narrow path, a narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. This first came to mind when I was driving up the motorway today. All the traffic was going the other way, and we seemed to be on the broad path. We had three lanes pretty well to ourselves. an aside, which probably doesn't help at all, but it's strange how these things come to mind at the inappropriate times. Many there be that find the wide path and go in thereat. And continuing in 14, because straight, again, I mean narrow, constrained, restricted, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So it's not the easy choice. The experience of one of the Old Testament prophets is recorded in 1 Kings 19. You could virtually read the entire chapter, so try and paraphrase it. Elijah, after the miracle before the priests of Baal, was under threat of his life, and he fled from Jezebel's agents. And when he reached the Mount Horeb, God caused a number of incredible natural phenomena to occur. A mighty wind that shook the ground, an earthquake that had rocks falling, and fire upon the mountain, whether that was an earthquake eruption or I don't know what, whether it was bolts of lightning, but three incredibly powerful manifestations of natural power. And yet God manifested himself to Elijah in a still small voice. When we are making choices, when we are confronted with the myriads of choices which Satan's world presents us with, do we hear the cacophony of advertising hype? We have a problem in this country now, which has been growing, unfortunate choice of words, obesity, growing indeed. The last 25 years, the problem of obesity in the British Isles has grown, I think, fourfold, 400% in 25 years. And we used to make derogatory comments about our cousins across the Atlantic. We're doing our best to catch them up. And the choices that our young people have nowadays and the advertising seems to be consistently negative. They don't advertise orange juice or natural fruit juice. They advertise a revolting concoction, predominantly the one that I see again and again, Sunny D. The D originally stood for delight, but then people found that their kids were going yellow and I had to remarket it. So instead of Sunny Delight, it became merely Sunny D. So hopefully they reduced some of the colouring in it as well. People are amazed that our children are obese. The government is crying about this terrible state of affairs. The same government that sold off most of the playing fields for the schools. The same government that works in tandem with major food corporations to promote fast foods in schools as a fundraiser. The way of the world, the way that seems right, has caused the problem, and then they wring their hands and are upset. How do we remember these things and how to face up to them? There is a way of life which God has revealed to us. Moses was, and the children of Israel were given the Ten Commandments at Mount Horeb, the way of God, the way that we should be living by, the knowledge to find the way. We understand, we were taught that that probably occurred on a day of Pentecost, on a feast day after their escape. That knowledge was made available. This godly wisdom was put within their grasp. If you could turn with me, please, to Proverbs 1. Proverbs, the first chapter, starting in verse 23. Wisdom tells us, turn you at my reproof. This is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. These are the two elements that I want to bring out about the Feast of Pentecost today. God gave us knowledge on this day. The knowledge of his way, the knowledge of his plan, the knowledge of his law, his statutes, his judgments. That is the roadmap, not the one that's been derailed over in the Middle East at the moment. This is the roadmap for our life, the knowledge whereby we can find the true way. Also, of course, as the opening prayer so eloquently reminded us, this day commemorates the gift of the Holy Spirit. The knowledge, Adam and Eve had knowledge, but they made a wrong choice. They chose to decide right and wrong under the inspiration of Satan. Satan is rather like that political party. He claims to offer you choice, but it's the wrong choice. There are a selection of wrong choices available. God offers us a narrow choice, a constricted choice, but it's the one that leads to life. Another one of my children, a little horror, he's working with me at the moment. I'm very grateful for his help. But one of the drawbacks is that he describes a ski course he's recently been on, successfully been on. The grin has yet to leave his face, and it's been several weeks now. But on this course, they were following the instructor around, well, trying not exactly the contour, because they were going downhill gradually, but they were trying to keep to a narrow track. And Danny explains to me that when it's new snow, powder, there are no friends where there is powder, meaning they were all jostling for the best fresh tracks. Two of the eight chose a lower route, a broad route, beautiful snow, beautiful powder. The instructor had advised them to keep as high as possible because they would go around a cliff and then get back onto the piste, the formal run, and complete their journey in safety and in ease. Two people, my son insists it was not him, two people jostling past the others found the best powder on the lower edge of the slope. They then ended up in a blind gully, confronted by a cliff. They either walked up the hill, take the skis off, and climbed up thick snow, or they turned down and went steeper down a gully, which was an avalanche area. Now, they went through the wet snow, the dangerous snow, and they survived without any problem. But they missed the formal run, they missed the safest route. Now, they did not suffer for their unfortunate choice, other than they put themselves in severe danger, because they just wanted to enjoy the best powder, but the best powder soon ran out into wet, slushy, deep snow. They didn't listen to the instruction. They didn't listen to a still, small voice. Fortunately for them, they did not suffer from an avalanche. They got out of it. They were just laughed at. It was just an embarrassing moment for them. But what was easy to start with did not remain easy, and it was very dangerous before they got out of it. We have before us choices. Because of this day, we have available to us, through the teaching we've received, knowledge of God's word. The way of life that leads to life is available to us in the words of the Bible. And also, without this day, also we have the gift of God's Holy Spirit, which helps us to discern. And with Jesus Christ living through us, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we can apply the knowledge we have. We can listen to the guide, the still small voices, not be swept along by our own selfish ideas, by what looks good in the short term. We can see a bigger picture and keep to a narrow path that will benefit us and all those that we will be able to teach the same things in the future. Happy feast.